Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Tata Coffee Limited Q3 FY18 earnings conference call hosted by ICICI Securities. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star, then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Gaurav Jogani from ICICI Securities. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Good morning, everyone. It's a pleasure welcoming you on behalf of ICICI Securities to the Q3 FY18 results conference call of Tata Coffee Limited. We have with us Mr. Sanjeev Sarin, MD and CEO, and Mr. K. Venkata Ramanan, ED Finance and CFO. I would request Mr. Sanjeev Sarin to open the floor with his remarks and then take the question and answers ahead. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. This is Sanjeev Sarin here, CEO and MD of Tata Coffee. Okay, October-December has yet been another tough quarter for the company, and the company has battled adverse market conditions impacting all aspects of the business. Yet, we have simultaneously nurtured the future through focused investments. The company's standalone total income is at rupees 179 crores compared to 210 crores of the corresponding quarter of the previous year. Company's standalone profit before tax for the quarter is at 16 crores versus 47 crores last year, and a PAT at 10 crores versus 35 crores for the corresponding quarter of the previous year. The chief drivers of this have been four: lower realizations due to soft coffee terminals and an appreciating rupee. Pepper markets have been very soft, declining by over 10% over the quarter, resulting in weak market prices. This is despite the government stipulating a minimum import price about 2 months ago. Our soluble coffee business, which was impacted by a temporary setback with one of the key customers last quarter, which we had discussed, while recovering through new customer acquisitions, is still running slightly behind. Most of our geographies are well ahead of the previous year. Adverse weather conditions in our tea estates resulted in crop shortfalls. Putting these into perspective, you will appreciate the results which I'm going to talk about and what the efforts have been made. Arabica coffee terminals remained soft through the quarter. The New York ICE Index fluctuated between a high of 132 and a low of 117 cents per pound, respectively, before settling down at 126 pounds at the end of the quarter. In comparison, last year, the terminals were 137 cents per pound at the end of the quarter. Lipe London coffee terminals for Robusta dipped through the quarter, closing at $1,714 per metric ton compared to $2,007 per metric ton at the start of the quarter and $2,159 per metric ton at the same time last year. We are focused on agile supply chain management in the face of these falling markets. We have reduced our green cover to the extent that allows us to reap the benefits of low-priced Robustas in our soluble business. Next year is an Arabica on year in Brazil, and there are expectations of a record harvest, which may keep the terminal soft going forward. Keeping this in mind, we have focused on early harvest plans for the new season's crop to monetize it. Pepper prices dipped to INR 387 per kilo before government announced a minimum support price of rupees 500 per kilo. The move helped firmer prices in the short term, and the prices went up to about 460 by the end of the quarter. Currently, they're hovering around rupees 440 per kilo. Both Arabica and Robusta harvesting is on in full swing. The initial industry estimates suggest a depressed Robusta crop in the Coorg region by about 50%-60% versus last year. Arabica and Pepper are well under and as per plans. At Tata Coffee, we are focused on harvesting our crop at the right time to ensure quality is maintained at the exacting levels demanded by our global customers. I'm also happy to let you know that there is good progress of our Vietnam Grand Greenfield FTC freeze-dried coffee plant, and it is on track. I recently had the opportunity to speak about this at the IBC Asia conference held in Vietnam, and the response from the participants was excellent. Our new Orthodox tea factory in Annamalai has started production and will help realign our tea portfolio, favoring the Orthodox in the mix. We had also set up cross-functional teams, which I spoke to last time, to deliver cost optimization across business lines. I'm happy to report that these initiatives are on track, and we have helped and has helped us partly mitigate the adverse environmental challenges in this quarter. Some of the benefits from these will sustain into the future and make us more efficient. I had informed you last time that we had completed the EIA certification for our pepper processing plant in Kushalnagar. I'm happy to let you know that we have now bagged our first ever pepper exports order. Pepper is a strategic growth driver for the company, and in the face of declining domestic prices, key export markets with a focus on sustainability provide an important window of opportunity for us. Our instant coffee business has also bagged important new customers across geographies. This is resulting in our instant coffee division posting an improvement over the previous quarter from 1,600 metric tons last quarter to 1,936 metric tons in this quarter. I'm also happy to inform you that we have begun exports of tea to key markets. We are getting increasing traction from our global customers as we increase our focus to produce premium coffees. Some of examples are our monsoon coffees have doubled over the last year, over the previous year. We have sold single estate coffees from a Milamani estate, again reflecting the move towards premiumization of our coffees. The company's consolidated total income was Rs. 381 crores for the current quarter compared to Rs. 416 crores for the corresponding quarter of the previous year on account of lower Tata coffee sales and realization and lower 8 o'clock coffee during the current quarter. However, 8 o'clock has had a good quarter, resulting the consolidated profit before, I'll come to that in a while, consolidated profit tax is after tax, before tax is lower at 48 crores compared to 65 crores in the previous period due to lower profits of the standalone operations, partly compensated by 8 o'clock, which had a very good quarter, due to cost controls and phasing of promotions. Incidentally, 8 o'clock has had a good volume performance versus last year. The consolidated PAT, net of controlling interest, is up significantly from INR 30 crores to Rs. 43 crores due to favorable tax structure in the EOC operations. In summary, Tata Coffee is firmly focused on stakeholder value creation through a mix of strategic initiatives, premiumization, differentiation, and disintermediation, and near-term interventions like cost optimization across business lines and new customer acquisitions. These initiatives will help us stay focused on our mission statement of long-term value creation for all our stakeholders. I will now hand over to my colleague, Venkat, who will take you through the financial performance.
Good morning to all. So as Sanjeev has mentioned, he has broadly kind of summarized the results. I just wanted to add a couple of points. One is that results have to be seen in the backdrop of the soft terminals. Some of it seems to be improving, and also lower prices of the plantation products like pepper, which again was quite adverse, but slowly with the kind of the government minimum price, etc., it seems to be improving. The company also had the adverse impact of lower exchange rates during the quarter. The company continues to report results under Ind AS and has fair valued the growing produce of the coffee and pepper based on growth. As you will appreciate, the commodity or the plantation business is seasonal, so we are yet to complete the harvest of Robusta fully, Arabica and Robusta fully, as well as pepper. The instant coffee volumes, as Sanjeev mentioned, though they are better than the previous quarter, are lower than the corresponding quarter of the previous year due to phasing and timing of sales with some of the key customers. On the consolidated side, EOC had a good quarter, and the consolidated results also factor in the tax reversal due to lowering of tax rates in the U.S. I now hand over the floor to questions. Thanks.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may please press star, then one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star, then two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. To ask a question, please press star, then one. We take the first question from the line of Sameer Gupta from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. This is Percy Panthaki here. Sir, if I look at your FY17 annual report, there is a royalty income of about 36 crores that is accounted for. So my question is that all that we have received from Keurig, or is there any other form of or means of payment also coming from Keurig for FY17?
FY17, that is the only royalty income. There's nothing more, which has been fully reported in last year.
Okay. And I believe there is expected changeover happening in terms of the contract, and now instead of royalty, you will record the overall sales as well. So what is the effective date of change of this accounting?
So some amount of change is going to happen from this quarter going forward. So we'll come back to that.
Okay. So is this like a complete changeover, or will certain SKUs still continue on royalty and certain SKUs will be accounted for as the full sales value?
Yeah, so it's a mix.
It's a mix.
Some of the SKUs will be taken by us, which will therefore give us effective control of the distribution.
I see. So, sir, any kind of idea you can give out of what percentage of the business is moving out of royalty and going into the sales recording method?
Get down into that, but clearly the work is happening to make it viable for both sides, Keurig and us, especially we're getting us to get a stronger control on distribution of certain key SKUs, which are being discussed between them.
Okay. So secondly, just wanted to understand in this quarter you have recorded certain one-off exceptional costs. So just wanted to understand what would be the recurring cost savings from the restructuring that you are doing?
We don't want to commit a number, Praveen, but obviously it will result in some benefit over time.
I see. And these tax rates changing in the U.S. and you have taken a reversal, that is just for the deferred liability sitting on the balance sheet. And in addition to that, there will be a recurring benefit also in the amount of tax you pay. Is that understanding correct?
Yeah, you are right.
Okay. And what is the sort of amount of benefit in terms of percentage, if you can say that? I mean, earlier you were paying, 40% tax, and now it will come to 20% tax?
Yeah, I think we were paying around 35. Now going forward, it should be around 20 or 21. The early 21, the early 20s.
Okay, sir. And last question, your other expenses line is down by 41%. So what would be the reason for that?
These would be some of the expenses which would have got deferred. And see, for example, the EOC had a lower, consumer promos. So those are the lines.
Okay, and that's just a phasing issue. It will sort of come in another quarter, or this is like a one-off permanent?
Some of it could come, but some of it may not.
Understood, sir. Okay, that's all from me. Thanks and all the best.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Arpit Kapoor from IDFC Mutual Fund. Please go ahead.
Thanks sir, for taking my question. Sir, the first question is on the tax credit. So you have also recognized this tax credit in the P&L, and that is why we see a negative tax expense in the consolidated numbers. Would that understanding be correct?
Yeah, correct.
Okay. And so, you would have recognized it for the 9 months in this current quarter?
Yes, correct.
Okay. And so what's the outlook on the 8 o'clock operations in general? So how do you see the, given the soft coffee prices, so is there any impact? And how do we see the competitive intensity in U.S. per se?
See, the competitive intensity doesn't change. In fact, everybody is, because of the prices currently in the market, the competitive pressures are actually intensifying. But being a branded player, they have ability to hold is much stronger. So yes, and also like I mentioned earlier, they have taken over direct distribution for some of the K-Cups, which should help the business take charge some of their single services.
So just to clarify on the direct, in the DTL you asked a question on tax, but that will not be pertaining, entire benefit will not pertain to the 9 months, because some of the deferred tax liabilities which have been carried forward has been reversed also.
Okay.
Based on the new tax rate, yeah.
Thanks.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Jayant Mamania from Care Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Good morning, sir. Sir, globally the coffee demand exceeds supply, then what are the factors that are responsible for subdued coffee prices, and what is the long-term prediction about long global coffee price trend, and which situation is beneficial to us as we are net purchaser of coffee over and above our plantation product?
That's an interesting question. First of all, let me answer the second one. I don't think anybody can predict what happens to the coffee terminals. However, you're also right. All estimates forecast a supply-demand gap where demand exceeds supply over the longer haul. What you're seeing currently is a result of a bumper crop coming out of Brazil and Vietnam, which is impacting the terminals currently. They're the largest impact right now on the system. What impacts us? We have two different. If terminals soften up, our revenues from our plantations comes down. However, it indirectly helps our soluble coffee business because the net coffee buying cost comes down. So we kindly work both ways. Works one, whatever works for one works adversely for the other.
Okay. So overall, it will be beneficial for a company if the prices are lower.
No, it all depends. I can't say that as a standard because it depends what level of the drop, which crop has done, and what is happening to the international prices of even the soluble coffee. So there are multiple factors playing in.
But we are net purchaser for 8 o'clock, I think.
Yeah. We are net.
Yeah. So it's like this, James. One is, of course, our plantation products like coffee, if there's a lower terminal, will get impacted. Instant coffee will benefit because of the raw material cost. And the 8 o'clock would obviously benefit if the prices are lower.
Yeah.
So I mean, the only thing is, there will be some phasing of time because people definitely would carry inventories.
You're right. 8 o'clock coffee definitely benefits. But also what tends to happen is, because of dropping price, everybody's competitive spend increases.
Sir, this quarter, instant coffee business is impacted due to one of the Russia's customer timing issue. And we had a sales breakthrough in Africa region. So
yes.
Can you throw some light on this?
What is it you want to know?
The Russian customer,
yes,
which has a timing issue, did that sale will come in the current quarter?
So they've already begun improving. Previous quarter they had bought nothing. Then they bought quantities. We've already got some quantities sorted out and they're signing on right now. In fact, the 4 or 5 new customers who have been signing on have also compensated for some of the loss from this person. Our African sales are running well ahead and we are focusing hard on that part of our business. So wherever the opportunities are, we're trying to expand our reach to key customers and geographies where we think the business opportunities lie.
So African region business is totally new business or there was some sales in the...
Africa is a very large business for us and we are adding new geographies and new customers over there. So that is it's a combination of both.
Sir, we'd like to know what structural changes has happened in the company in last 2 years in terms of value addition or in instant coffee business, which will impact positively in future.
So a couple of things which we've been doing over the last 2 years, let me break it down into, say, let's start with instant coffee. We have actually debottlenecked our freeze-dried capacity and we've added about 10% of our capacity to freeze-dried, just finished a couple of months back. That is one big movement upwards. We are focused very sharply on selling agglomerated coffees, which adds value to the business, and selling ready-to-retail consumer packs, which again adds value to the business. So these have been very consciously done. We have, on the plantation side, I've been talking about the fact that we are upping our game by going, while the business is small, micro lots, single coffee estates, We are premiumizing our sales, going directly to customers. All these are adding significant value to the business. So all these factors are helping our business move towards a positive upward trend. And the biggest change that is happening is by next year, Jan, Vietnam will be under production with FTC.
Sir, can you share some or give some hint whether to what extent per kilo realization has improved since value addition?
So it's very difficult to say that because again depends on the terminal. Because if I give you a price and the terminals have come down, it will not reflect. But the very fact that we are premiumizing, our differentials move up because of that. Our customer connect improves because of that, and that is helping us get a better realization. I don't want to give exact numbers, but the fact that you're focusing very hard and getting a very positive response from everybody is a reflection of where we are. We've almost in the last 1.5 years more than doubled our direct sales to customers, which reflects what I'm talking about.
Okay, okay. Sir, the tax rate has changed from 35% to 21% in US?
Yeah, somewhere around that, yeah. It has come down, yeah.
Sir, can you tell us this in the consolidated result, the other expenses have come down from 81 crores to 63 crores. That is 18 crores fall. So, to what of that expenses are of sustainable nature which will be reduced permanently?
No, this will include some amount of, as I explained, the phasing of the promotion expenses are there in that. And so basically two, three items. One is, of course, the phasing of the promotions and, you know, timing of promotions. That would, of course, depend on the kind of promotions they run. So that whole thing may not be, you know, recurring. And some of it, about 3-4 crores, is a one-time, you know, kind of claims which was settled in the standalone operations last year. So that will not be there. Apart from that, there will be other selling expense and all that, which are more to do with the timing, etc.
Sir, can you tell us how much production did
this is the operator. Mr. Mamani, may we request you to come back in the queue,
please. Okay. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. We take the next question from the line of Kush Gangar from Care PMS. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. What was the production loss in the current quarter in plantation?
See, it's like this. See, since we are accounting on... you know, on a growing produce concept, it's difficult to quantify now. Because, see, we have examples, the Arabica harvest is in progress. Robusta is, you know, also in progress, but that will take about another one and a half, 2 months to complete. And pepper is, you know, again, very initial stage. So, obviously, you know, we will not be able to quantify the production loss per se in that manner.
Let me also add, while you had all the reports saying in the region 50 to 60% losses have happened, ours are significantly lower than that.
Okay.
See, this year is an on-year for Arabica. Pepper also an on-year, which obviously means that the quantities have to be higher than the previous year. Robusta, of course, is, you know, going through some difficult time. It's an off-year in that sense.
Okay. And in terms of margins in our standalone segment, in the instant coffee, our margins have decreased from 14% plus to less than 13% in Q3. As against, it should have increased because the terminals are soft, so you would have benefited from it. So, can you please explain on that part?
So, you to understand, like I explained, the issues we've had in our customers who've delayed the offtakes, we've been impacted in the mix largely. Because our freeze dried has got a bit under pressure because of that. So this is a matter of the short-term thing. It will reverse when the business stabilizes.
Okay. And with crude oil prices increasing, do you expect a faster volume pickup from the client?
I don't know how to relate crude oil to a faster pickup.
Their pricing power, probably their budgeting would all improve and from...
I don't know if I can directly link it because these are when they are basically linked to seasonalities and what the customers are demanding. I really do not know if they are directly linked to crude oil.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Srinath Radhakrishnan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Good morning.
Hi.
I'm just trying to understand from my investor's point of view. Because if I look at the last 5 years, actually, like, there is hardly any wealth creation happened or any shareholder wealth improved. So what are the growth levers actually like for your future? And so basically, why would any individual investor be interested in your stock actually?
That's an interesting viewpoint. I do know that our shares have gone from 90 about 2.5 years back to 150, 160.
So, Srinath, can I just say that
the last 5 years, there's hardly any growth happened.
No, Srinath, you see, one, I think we'd like to probably, you know, sort of look at the commodity. You know, see, this is again a, you know, basically a commodity, you know, kind of play, because we have the plantation segment which is there, which goes through its own, you know, kind of ups and downs on terms of terminals. Then look at the instant coffee side, which is, you know, the value-added segment of the business. So our levers would be only, of course, the plantation side of it, because pepper, if you, you know, if you see, we have been trying to focus on pepper, so that would be one key lever for us. On the instant coffee side, definitely on the freeze-dried and the premiumization aspects, and we also explained a couple of quarters back about debottlenecking, which will improve capacities by 200 tons or so roughly. So that will be another lever which we are focusing on. The third lever, of course, is the Vietnam one, which will take probably an year or so to come up and, you know, start delivering in terms of production. So these are the three key levers. As you will appreciate also that, you know, that land per se, you know, we are only trying to improve the productivity by replanting and et cetera with the higher clones. And so those are the way. So that's the kind of three broad levers which I would say from the standalone operations.
So what's happening with the Tata Coffee Grand?
Tata Coffee Grand, see, the point is we are manufacturing and, you know, giving it to TGP for distribution. Obviously, it is in the early stages, you know, they are not pan-India asset. But there are certain segments which have been showing, you know, some amount of promising growth.
And the shares quarter on quarter are showing an increase?
No, because if you look at the last 5 years, so the last 5 years' performance of the shares, there is hardly any growth. Because maybe like the last 2 years or something, it got improved. But if you look at the last 5 years, there is hardly anything. And compared even to your parent company, because there is quite a tremendous growth in that segment, but nothing in your share.
Yes, you know, but the point, I think you need to appreciate where the kind of, you know, the business we are in. So obviously the TGB and Tata Coffee, the businesses are different. So that will probably explain part of the, you know, kind of thing. And then of the commodity play and then of the multiples are definitely, you know, sort of, it will play a difference between a pure FMCG play like TGB and a commodity kind of play like Tata Coffee. But having said that, definitely last 2 years, if you would have seen the results have been on an improving trend.
I just want us to have a sharp focus on directionally, strategically what the company is doing. Because very clearly, like Venkat has defined, our focus is very, very sharply to try and move up the value chain and move further and further from the commodity space that we have been in. And therefore, this customer centricity we are focusing on, going direct to customers we are focusing on, which has have significant value to the organization. Premiumizing, like Venkat has talked about, is adding significant value to the organization. Pepper is a completely new vertical that has opened up in the last 2.5-3 years, and we are focusing very sharply on it. And the fact that the more the geographies we are opening are in the profitable markets, that is adding value. And ultimately, Vietnam will come in a year from now. So directionally, all our investments and the fact that, which we haven't talked about, climate change being such a serious concern for the business, effective this year, we have now got invested and put 100% of our irrigation capability through water harvesting. So we virtually become kind of rain impact free for our watering. So these are very fundamental investments and in the business for the future.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We take the next question from the line of Percy Panthaki from India Infoline. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Hi, sir. Any timeline you can give on the commencement of the Vietnam plant?
Next year, January.
First quarter of 2019.
First quarter of 2019. Yeah.
Okay. And what kind of ramp up do you expect? I think the capacity there is 5,000 metric tons.
Yeah.
So, like, what kind of ramp up can we build in? Like, how many years it will take for you to achieve full capacity utilization?
Our thrust is to go as fast as we can. So, what we are currently focusing on is getting our infrastructure in the sales side up and running to ensure as we are ready, our customer base is ready and we have the business rolling in.
So on the capacity utilization, we're being 100%, obviously, you know, dependent on the of the timing, we should be through with that over the 2 year time frame, roughly.
I see. So does that mean that you already have tentative customer orders that or soft commitments from customers to pick up from you once the Vietnam plant is commenced?
So there is a very high level of interest shown by various customers on the fact that we are coming in, just the fact that we are in Vietnam, in the heart of the coffee country, with access to certain geographical trade blocks, it is evincing a lot of interest with everybody.
Okay, and do you evince any kind of cannibalization from the Indian plant, or will those be completely additional volumes?
No, we don't foresee any cannibalization because the geographies are different, the kind of products we'll be able to access are significantly different. It's probably to us a significant add-on.
Right, sir. That's all from me. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, please press star, then one. We take the next question from the line of Nikhil Upadhyay from Securities Investment Managers. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good morning, sir, and thanks for the opportunity. Two questions, sir. One, on the Vietnam plant, on the freeze-dried, how do you see the new capacities which are coming? Because if we look at it in India itself, two players which we know, you and other CCL, they both combined would be bringing in around 10,000 tons. So other than that, how do you see overall demand-supply situation for the freeze-dried globally?
Like, again, somebody asked about the longer-term coffee supply-demand gap. All forecasting shows a supply-demand gap over the next two, three years in freeze-dried too. And therefore, we are currently not seeing any issue. There are two, three other factories that are coming up right now, but we do not see an issue on oversupply.
Okay, so the pricing which is currently should sustain then?
Well, we already hope. Certainly that should sustain. And because we are going up the quality ladder, we hope to get a better recoveries.
Okay. Secondly, sir, on 8 o'clock coffee, if you can just give some idea on over the next 3 years, how do you see that part of the business growing? The point which I'm trying to understand is that if I look at over the last 5 years in terms of the top line growth, the growth has been stagnant to a large extent. But now, how do you see this part of the business growing itself for us, or what steps are you foreseeing that which can probably help us grow in this?
So one is you're in a very competitive environment in the US. That's the starting point. I also mentioned that the new agreement with Keurig will give control to the business in some of its distribution, which should help the single serve business. There is a very high focus on product innovations, which the business is doing. I think I had mentioned about one or two calls before, they had breakfast blend, Brazilian blends, and they've got mixes coming with lavenders and turmeric focus. So they are doing a lot of innovation in these areas to bring in, enhance the value of the category in the business. So all directions, all the things that people are working on are to try increase your space in the coffee market within the fact that it's a highly competitive space which is there. Now, how it goes, pans 3 years down the road, I'm completely clueless. But each one of us should be aware that our job as managers is to have profitable growth for every business we are operating in.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, sir, on the volatility on the standalone business, although on value addition part, we have significantly ramped up and all, but the volatility because of the prices with the plantations and all, how should someone understand it? Although we want to move up the value chain, do you think that incrementally more of the plantation production would be used for our own consumption, which will help us the value addition, or on the plantation itself we can add some value addition? So how should one understand on this part?
So one part is, being in a commodity cycle, you don't control that too much.
Yeah.
However, what we need to do as managers and as business heads is to try and decommoditize as much as you can. So for a start, our land is our factory for the plantations, and therefore whatever we've been trying to do is to get more revenue from the land, and therefore focus on pepper, therefore focus on premiumizing our plantation products and get more revenue per hectare from the plantation area. We will not be substituting plantation, our imported beans for ICD, because it is far better to import the beans out of Vietnam, far more cost effective. And because we are premiumizing our entire plantation process, it will not be right to lose revenue where we can generate far better revenues and deal directly with the best roasters globally. So the trick is to get the best out of our plantations by getting high-end customers and high-end products to them, and overall being far more efficient in costs, which we have been doing very consciously over the last year and a half, 2 years. So let me summarize. Get the most effective beans to come into our instant coffee. Get our product mix right, focusing, getting our freeze-dried, getting our agglomerated, getting our consumer-focused packs off the ground. Make it run faster. That is on one part of it. Plantation, up the value, add more products for the same hectare of land, and become very cost-efficient. And this is what we are working on.
Yeah, and two things on the comments you made. One on the pepper, although as you said that we are trying to increase the yield on the pepper and looking at increasing production from the, but effectively at the end it will again be a commodity type of a product market, right? So we won't be controlling the pricing.
Yeah, so in a way, at one point, it's a commodity price, but within that, you have to understand what we bring to the table of sustainability and traceability, and very consciously focus on the customers who value this, and go to the value, up the value chain to people who value what we are doing, exactly what we are doing in coffee.
Okay. Okay, thanks, sir.
Thanks.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Samir Madan, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello. So I have a couple of questions. One is related to 8 o'clock. We have acquired this business approximately 10 years ago now. I would like to understand how we stand with respect to debt, which I think the subsidiary is looking to pay off. So it was maybe around $150 to $200 million we took on as debt. I'd just like to understand where that stands now and at what rate the debt is being paid off currently. And if possible, a projection on when that debt is paid off. The second thing is that one of our thrust areas for growth over the last few years has been pepper. And if the management can just update on how that is progressing, that will be good. Thank you.
So debt is in those in the lines you mentioned, Samir. And the only thing is, this on a amortized basis, it is going down. So it's very difficult to say as to it will run for another 2-3 years. I think roughly 3 to 4 years. And on the interest rate, etc., they're all subject to, the market rate is different from that. So I don't want to commit on the spread and all that, but overall they are well within, there's no change in that rate in that sense over the years.
Yeah, that's fine, sir. That's good enough to know, as you said, within next 3 to 4 years it should be paid off. That's fine.
Yeah, I'm talking about the pepper part of it. So very consciously over the last 2-3 years we've been focusing on planting vines and increasing our coverage, focusing on yields. getting through. We have consultants working with us on improving the quality of the pepper we generate. We have invested in new facilities for processing. We've got export certified. And therefore, we are certainly on track of making this a pretty strong parallel revenue stream. Like the previous person had asked, it's the same land, and how we therefore we get more revenue out of per hectare of land we hold is the direction we're taking.
Sir, on that front, can you just add a bit, like if we are starting with a increased focus on boosting our pepper production on year zero, then in which year does that actually start bearing fruit, and which year does pepper production typically or is expected to come closer to peak levels? Because these are living things and trees will have their own cycle. Just if you can explain that briefly.
See, we've already touched about 1,100 metric tons of pepper, and this has happened over the last couple of years. And as our vine capacities and tree coverage increases, whether it will take us 3 years, 4 years, but that's the kind of thing where we should be reaching what we should be delivering. And there is no end to it, because once you have coverage, then yields can be looked at, varieties can be improved, looked at. A lot of R&D effort is going in looking at varietals in pepper. So I can't say there's a peak to it. We just have to make sure we are doing the right things.
Yeah. No, by the peak, I mean, sir, a wine that is planted in year zero, then how does the life cycle of that wine, how is that expected?
It takes about 4 years, 4 to 5 years for it to start giving strong output.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, please press star, then one. We take the next question from the line of Jayant Mamania from Care Portfolio. Please go ahead.
Sir, at the consolidated level, in the value-added product segment, we have done well in spite of fall in turnover and stronger rupee. The profit has increased from 65 crores to 71 crores. Can you tell us what are the factors which have contributed to this, and whether this trend will continue in the current quarter?
So in the console level, as we explained, the standalone has been impacted by the, you know, lower profitability, but 8 o'clock has done well. That's what we said. And thanks to, you know, facing of promotions, as well as some benefit on, you know, on the inventory carriage of the green and all that, they have benefited. Whether they will repeat in that sense is quite difficult to say, because it will depend on the competition intensity and all that, what the promotions they would like to have. But and then again on the green, again for some time it will sustain, but then it will depend again on the terminals. So I would not be able to answer fully the question on whether all the benefits will sustain, but obviously this quarter has had the benefit.
So what would the export part of in this amount, 319 crores, what would be the export turnover?
60-odd crores, no? Yeah.
60%. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
Thank you. We take the next question from the line of Avinash Vadwa from M3 Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. I'm just trying to understand, your changeover in the EOC part of the business, where you say that you've moved from royalty-based payoff to partly direct control over distribution. And I still don't understand clearly, you know, how and if you could quantify how it's going to benefit your business, or what are the mechanisms through which it will benefit your business?
See, the single biggest benefit is that you take charge of your distribution and you control the customer reach. I think that's the biggest benefit, and the revenue recognition comes to your P&L.
Right, but there would have been some reason for you to have in the first place gotten into a royalty-based system of compensation. So what got you to decide now to switch over to a direct control over distribution model?
These are strategic decisions at a moment of time, which I don't think we, at the moment, what happened. And at the moment, this is what the best for the business. I think we should stay with that decision and say this is what the business is doing is what currently seems to be right for both the businesses.
Excuse me, this is the operator. Mr. Vadwa, do you have any further questions?
No, thank you.
Thank you. Participants, to ask a question, please press star, then one. As there are no further questions from the participants, I would now like to hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thanks everybody for being online and understanding all the efforts that the business is making over here to decommoditize and take it forward. As you all are aware, we are part and parcel of a commodity business. But over the years, as you would all appreciate, we are gradually distancing ourselves by becoming more and more customer-focused, premiumization-focused, and going up the value chain. And as the business moves forward, it will be great to see each one of you partner with us and over the future calls how the businesses are changing. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of ICICI Securities, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your line.